No one thought that there was any love in that act, because they were accustomed to the familiarity of Amaranta with the rites of death. Hernanda was scandalized that she did not understand the relationship of Catholicism with life, but only its relationship with death, as if it were not a religion, but a compendium of funeral conventions. Amaranta was too wrapped up in the eggplant patch of her memories to understand those subtle apologetics. She had reached old age with all of her nostalgias intact. When she listened to the waltzes of Pietro Crespi, she felt the same desire to weep that she had had in adolescence, as if time and harsh lessons had meant nothing. The rolls of music that she herself had thrown into the trash with the pretext that they had rotted from dampness kept spinning and playing in her memory. She had tried to sink them into the swampy passion that she allowed herself with her nephew Aureliano José, and she tried to take refuge in the calm and virile protection of Colonel Irineldo Márquez. But she had not been able to overcome them, not even with the most desperate act of her old age, when she would bathe the small José Arcadio 3 years before he was sent to the seminary, and caress him not as a grandmother would have done with a grandchild, but as a woman would have done with a man, as it was said that the French matrons did, and as she had wanted to do with Pietro Crespi at the age of 12, 14, when she saw him in his dancing tights and with a magic wand with which he kept time to the metronome. At times it pained her to have let that outpouring of misery follow its course, and at times it made her so angry that she would prick her fingers with the needles. But what pained her most and enraged her most and made her most bitter was the fragrant and wormy guava grove of love that was dragging her toward death. Just as Colonel Aureliano Buendía thought about his war, unable to avoid it, so Amaranta thought about Rebecca. But while her brother had managed to sterilize his memories, she had only managed to make hers more scalding. The only thing that she asked of God for many years was that he would not visit on her the punishment of dying before Rebecca. Every time she passed by her house and noted the progress of destruction, she took comfort in the idea that God was listening to her. One afternoon, when she was sewing on the porch, she was assailed by the certainty that she would be sitting in that place, in the same position, and under the same light, when they brought her the news of Rebecca's death. She sat down to wait for it, as one waits for a letter, and the fact was that at one time she would pull off buttons to sew them on again, so that inactivity would not make the wait longer and more anxious. No one in the house realized that at that time Amaranta was sewing a fine shroud for Rebecca. Later on, when Aureliano Triste told how he had seen her, changed into an apparition with leathery skin and a few golden threads on her skull, Amaranta was not surprised, because the specter described was exactly what she had been imagining for some time. She had decided to restore Rebecca's corpse, to disguise with paraffin the damage to her face, and make a wig for her from the hair of the saints. She would manufacture a beautiful corpse, with the linen shroud and a plush-lined coffin with purple trim, and she would put it at the disposition of the worms with splendid funeral ceremonies. She worked out the plan with such hatred that it made her tremble to think about the scheme, which she would have carried out in exactly the same way if it had been done out of love. But she would not allow herself to become upset by the confusion, and went on perfecting the details so minutely that she came to be more than a specialist, and was a virtuoso in the rites of death. The only thing that she did not keep in mind in her fearsome plan was that in spite of her pleas to God, she might die before Rebecca. That was, in fact, what happened. At the final moment, however, Amaranta did not feel frustrated, but on the contrary, free of all bitterness, because death had awarded her the privilege of announcing itself several years ahead of time. She saw it on one burning afternoon sewing with her on the porch a short time after Meme had left for school. She saw it because it was a woman dressed in blue with long hair, with a sort of antiquated look, and with a certain resemblance to Pilar Ternera during the time when she had helped with the chores in the kitchen. Fernanda was present several times and did not see her, in spite of the fact that she was so real, so human, and on one occasion asked of Amaranta the favor of threading a needle. Death did not tell her when she was going to die, or whether her hour was assigned before that of Rebekah, but ordered her to begin sewing her own shroud on the next 6th of April. She was authorized to make it as complicated and as fine as she wanted, but just as honestly executed as Rebekah's, and she was told that she would die without pain, fear, or bitterness